Welcome to After Cana, a Ferris Love podcast dedicated to exploring the vocation of marriage. In each episode, we bring you stories, advice, and insights from experts and seasoned couples to help guide you in your journey, whether you're dating, engaged, or newly married. I'm your host, Gabby Quinlan, and today I wanted to revisit a topic that Rachel and I spoke about in a previous episode. I interviewed Rachel Hoover Canto, the author of Pretty Good Catholic. It's an awesome book about finding, dating, and marrying someone who shares your Catholic faith. Rachel had a ton of great advice, so if you haven't listened to that episode, definitely make sure to go back and check that out. But we had a snippet of our conversation that I wanted to put on its own for this episode, and it's about basically growing emotionally and spiritually in relationships. And I think it's important to talk about because I think there are a few kind of misconceptions about relationships that are really prevalent. And I think one is that you kind of have to be arrived at where you want to be in your career and where you want to be in your spiritual life and where you want to be financially, all these different things. You kind of have to be the whole package before you even start considering dating someone or dating someone. And to that, I would just say that's not true. As human beings, no one's ever in the perfect state. We're always meant to be growing and changing and learning. And I think it is doing a disservice to many, many people to say that you have to check all these boxes before you start considering your vocation and considering looking for a lifelong partner. Yes, you should have a level of emotional maturity and a level of confidence. You shouldn't just be flailing when you get into relationships, but I would say don't be afraid if you don't, quote unquote, have it all together before you start dating someone. So that's one thing that I think is kind of at play here. And then another thing is that with our, especially with the younger generations being so chronically online and sharing everything with everyone, all their followers on Instagram and TikTok, etc., I think people can feel pressure to be really, really vulnerable immediately with everyone they meet, and especially romantic partners. And to that, we kind of talk about that later in the episode, but I would say to that, you know, relationships should have a natural flow and a progression. So, you know, in an ideal world, you don't just tell your deepest fear or your deepest secret to someone you meet on the side of the road. You would develop a relationship with someone, maybe become friends with someone, build a rapport, and then you might start sharing more and more details about them or about yourself with them. And I think in relationships, we can kind of dive right into everything all at once. I know my husband and I were pretty guilty of this, honestly. But you just want to share everything with a person. And I think it's okay to take your time and to focus on building trust with someone before you, you know, bare your soul to them, because your soul's a pretty precious thing. So those are a couple things I'm thinking about here as we dive in. And the third thing, I wanted to read an excerpt from this book. It's called Life of the Beloved by Henri Nouwen, and it's a book about basically our chosenness and how we are truly the beloved of God, what that means and how the world kind of lies to us and makes us feel rejected and unworthy and less than, when really we are beloved daughters and sons of God. And I saw some parallels between my conversation with Rachel and what we were kind of expressing that you should look for in in romantic relationships to what I read in here about your relationship with God being one of truly understanding your worth and how deeply you're loved by the Creator. So I'm just going to read a little bit from that, and then I will share my conversation with Rachel. And hopefully this gives you some food for thought as you navigate the emotional depths that you're exploring in your relationships. So without further ado, here we go. So this is in the chapter that is called Taken. And first she's going to talk about what the world kind of tells us about who we are versus what we really are in the eyes of God. Okay. First of all, you have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is: manipulative, controlling, power-hungry, and in the long run, destructive. The world tells you many lies about who you are, and you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, "These feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity, and held safe in an everlasting embrace." Second, you have to keep looking for people and places where your truth is spoken and where you are reminded of your deepest identity as the chosen one. Yes, we must dare to opt consciously for our chosenness and not allow our emotions, feelings, or passions to seduce us into self-rejection. The synagogues, the churches, the many communities of faith, the different support groups helping us with our addictions, family, friends, teachers, and students, all of these can become reminders of our truth. The limited, sometimes broken love of those who share our humanity can often point us to the truth of who we are, precious in God's eyes. The truth is not simply an inner truth that emerges from our center. It is also a truth that is revealed to us by the one who has chosen us. That is why we have to keep listening to the many men and women in history who, through their lives and their words, call us back to it. So, I loved what he said about, even in our brokenness, other human beings around us can remind us of who we are as children of God. And I think that's what you should be looking for when you look for a spouse. They should be a person who constantly guides you towards God. And that doesn't always look picture perfect. It's not always comfortable or smooth or easy. I remember when I first started dating my husband, I was kind of humbled by how often or how frequently he went to confession and how serious he took receiving the Eucharist and making sure he was in a state of grace to receive the Eucharist. I had definitely not been in a state of grace for a lot of my life and just not gone to confession. And I didn't know, or I didn't recognize that, like, I needed that sacrament to be able to properly prepare myself to receive our Lord. That was a really uncomfortable realization for me, but it helped me so much. And now confession is like a normal thing that we do. And it not only brings me closer to God in the sense that I'm more frequently receiving the grace of that sacrament and I'm being healed, but also I'm better prepared and I have a deeper understanding of what I'm doing when I'm receiving Jesus at Mass. And so that's just one small example of like an uncomfortable realization that actually really led me a lot closer to God. And it was a realization I had because of, you know, my boyfriend at the time, who's now my lovely husband. So anyways, I hope you get a lot from this conversation that I'm about to share. And I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling just a lot of pressure in this area of either trying to have it all together before you start dating someone or feeling a lot of pressure to share everything all at once right away. I just want you to reflect on what Rachel and I talk about in the next little bit. And just know that in the end, you are chosen, you are beloved, and your relationships can help you to realize that and help you to grow in ways that you may never have realized you needed to grow or that you could grow. And that's a beautiful thing. So anyways, here is part of Rachel and my conversation about emotional depth and spiritual growth in relationships.
Okay, so I want to ask you, this is a really interesting one. So you talk about relationships and how they can offer healing and how they can be kind of a vehicle for healing. How can romantic relationships be a part of someone's personal or spiritual growth?
This is something that I think honestly surprised me a little bit when I was dating my husband. But when we were just a few months into being, you know, in a serious, exclusive relationship, there was some big, deep stuff that just kind of came up in me, kind of not because he was triggering trauma, you know, directly, but just the fact of dating him just kind of led to some circumstances of noticing in myself, oh, I have these wounds, partly because he was actually so emotionally healthy in those same areas where I was not so healthy. And so I could see, oh, there's a different way to be here. There's something maybe not quite right with me. And as soon as I became aware of that, I think God really used the relationship to provide a lot of healing. I saw this healing just happening, you know, without me having to, you know, strive to make it happen necessarily. And I think I want to make it clear, I'm not saying that everyone should just use their boyfriend or girlfriend as a therapist, you know, like that is usually not healthy. But I think having somebody, having, you know, childhood trauma or something sort of come up during a relationship doesn't necessarily mean you need to break up so that you can go focus on this elsewhere. Sometimes the other person can be just kind of supporting you, you know, from the outside and encouraging you to kind of move forward, or again, being an example of what more healthy and holy and healed looks like. And so that can be really good. And I think actually over time, I've seen this with a number of other people. I think some type of healing or growth is a really good sign that you are in a very good relationship that God wants you to be in. Not that that 100% means you're definitely going to get married, but you know, it might be.
But they're a good person for you to, yes, you know, this is at least good. Be discerning with.
Yes, because it's bearing good fruit. So number one reason why I ultimately said yes to my husband when he proposed, because I mean, there were lots of reasons. I really liked him, you know, it sounded great to be married to him. You know, he was objectively good in all these various ways, but I tend to be kind of indecisive and hesitant. And so, you know, when he did propose, it was a surprise proposal and I kind of knew it might be coming, but it was just a little sooner than I thought. And so I kind of panicked in the moment, and I tell this story in detail in the book, but like, I was just like, oh, whoa, okay, I need a minute, you know, but I had prayed about it a lot before that. But even in the moment, I did another check-in with God before like officially saying yes. And it was just so clear to me that dating him had led to really good fruits in my life. It was a good thing that was making me happier and holier. And so I had no reason to believe that that wouldn't continue if we got engaged and got married. And it totally has. I mean, to this day, there's just different things that'll come up. We have seasons where everything's just very kind of happy and peaceful. And then we have seasons where like, oh, something hard comes up inside me or kind of between us. Again, not between us sounds right.
I know what you mean. It's like,
you know, but it's like something
like life throws something at you and puts a strain
Right. And it brings out something, you know, in us. And then I still continue to see that having him in my life is always a positive influence. It's always leading me to become better. One of my brothers who recently got married was chatting with me about just what it's like to be married, and he said something like, marriage kind of brings out the worst in me, but like in a good way. And I know what he means. He's like, just some of that bad stuff that was already in there can tend to come out because you're relating to another person on such a deep level that like everything is exposed, right, to your spouse. But that doesn't mean that then you're just both just being bad people to each other. You know, it means like, oh, now I know I need to work on this, and I'm going to, you know, do what I need to do. I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to maybe take it to a real therapist, you know, whatever, but I'm going to work on this and continue to heal. And so having that other person in your life, and seeing that that bears good fruit, I think is a really good sign that you should keep moving forward in this relationship.
Definitely.
And it's such a blessing.
Yeah. I could not agree more. And I found in my husband like such a safety, even before we got engaged and got married, such a safety to explore those things that I hadn't really processed, things from childhood, you know, et cetera. There were things like I had not thought about in years that popped up, and things that I had never told anyone before that I finally was able to talk with him about because there was such a level of trust that we had built up. But it took like years to get there. And yeah, I would just encourage people listening. You don't have to be completely vulnerable all right away at once.
Right.
Build that trust. And then if these things pop up or these character flaws you didn't know you had pop up, allow yourself to truly work on that with the person, be open about your journey and your healing. And then once you're married, just rest in the fact that this is a sacrament. There is so much grace in it. And there's, again, so much safety in that you married someone who's never going to leave you, never going to abandon you, no matter what you're going through or working through, no matter what wounds you've had in past relationships or from growing up or whatever it may be. Just, yeah, trusting God and trusting the person that he put in your life is a lesson that I have learned that I didn't know I had to learn, you know? I didn't think I was that damaged or that anything, but it's finding that person who I felt comfortable enough to explore those things with and truly
yes.
grow that yes. changed everything.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Just a disclaimer, we did go on to talk about how important it is to not feel abused or feel threatened in any way by your relationships, but rather they should be a place where you can feel challenged in a healthy way to be better and to grow. And ultimately, your relationship should be a place where you are able to explore who you are, to really, really nail down your values and establish values with this other person that you're potentially, you know, considering marrying. And all of that, but it should all be in a very healthy, positive, constructive way, even if it's sometimes uncomfortable. Discomfort is not the problem, but a lack of safety would be a problem. So don't stay with anyone who's making you feel unsafe or threatened, of course, but it's okay to feel challenged and pushed by your partner to get better, to be better, to live, to learn, to grow alongside them as sons and daughters of God. So thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time. If you enjoyed this episode of After Cana, share it with a friend, leave a review, or head to the Ferris Love website for more resources on building relationships and families of faith.